Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem by Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechus Ksubas Daf Mem Beis, the beginning of the fourth parak, Narashini Spatasa. The Zichud Masechus Ksubas program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, with Tanna Mishnah and Shavuos. If one says to another, "Anasta Petisa is Bita, you violated my daughter or you seduced my daughter," and the defendant responds that he did not, and the father says, "Mashbiachani, I make you swear regarding this," and the defendant says, "Amen," and afterwards the defendant admits that he violated or seduced her and that he had sworn falsely, he's chayv to pay the claim and an additional fifth and to bring an usham. Rabbi Shimon exempts him, "She'enu misham knas al piatzmo," for the din is that one does not pay knas by his own admission. Rashi explains that one is only chayv a kanas if he is convicted through the testimony of witnesses, not if he himself admits to the crime. Therefore, since he would not have been chayv the kanas even if he had admitted to the violation or seduction, his denial is not considered kfiras mamun, a denial of a monetary chiyuv. The Chami said to him, "Afo b'she'enu misham kanas al piyasmo, avo misham boshus begam al piyasmo," even though he doesn't pay kanas by his own admission, he does pay boshus begam by his own admission, and since his denial has monetary consequences, he's chayv and ashim for his false oath. The one on the next off will explain Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Pointing me to Abai asks his Rebbe Rabba, one who says to another, "Anastu petisa es biti, v'hemeneticha bedin, v'nechayavta li mamun," you violated or you seduced my daughter, and I sued you in basin and you were obligated to pay me money, referring to the 50 shekel knas, and the defendant denies it all, v'nishba, v'hoda, and he swore and then later confessed that he swore falsely, what is the law according to Rabbi Shimon? Kevin da'amad bedin mamun havai, u'mechayiv alai karban shvua, do we say that since he sued in basin and was awarded the knas, it's considered money, and he's chayv to bring an ashim for a false oath, or do we say that it's still treated as a knas and he does not bring an ashim? Rabbi answered, "Mamon havai u'mechayiv alai karban shvua." It is considered money, and he's chayv to bring a karban for making a false oath. After Abai challenges Rabbi, Rabbi revises his answer that in fact Rabbi Shimon does not treat a kanas after conviction as money. And when he said that Rabbi Shimon does treat it as money, well, Harisha Levanov, it was with respect to bequeathing it to his sons. Rashi explains that if the father were to die after being awarded the kanas, but before he collected it, the kanas would go to the brothers and not to the victim herself. And point number three, Abai challenges Rabbi's response that the sons collect the payments if the father died before he collected them from our Mishnah, which explicitly states, Rabbi Shimon says, "Imoi speak ligbos ad shemesa av aryan shel atzma." If she did not yet collect her payments before the father died, they belong to her. Rabbi said, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef had difficulty with this matter for 22 years, and it was not resolved until Rabbi Yosef sat at the head of the academy after Rabbi's death and resolved it. He explained that in the case of violation and seduction, it's different. For the pasuk states, "V'nasan isha shochev imal la'avia nara chamishin kesef." The man who lay with her shall give the father of the girl 50 silver pieces. The Torah did not entitle the father to the kenas until the moment it is actually given to him. When Rabbi said that a fine after conviction is considered money with respect to bequeathing it to his sons, Bashar Kanasas, it was with respect to other fines. So once again, the 3 points are: number one, it was taught in the Mishnah in Shavuos, if one says to another, "Anasta Petisa is Bita, you violated my daughter or you seduced my daughter," and the defendant responds that he did not, and the father says, "Mashbiachani, I make you swear regarding this," and the defendant says, "Amen," and afterwards the defendant admits that he violated or seduced her and that he had sworn falsely, he's chayav to pay the claim and an additional fifth and to bring an asham. Rabbi Shimon exempts him, "She'enu misham knas al piyatzmo," for the din is that one does not pay knas by his own admission. Rashi explains that one is only chayav a knas if he is convicted through the testimony of witnesses, not if he himself admits to the crime. Therefore, since he would not have been chayav the knas even if he had admitted to the violation or seduction, his denial is not considered kfiras mamun, a denial of a monetary chiyuv. The Chami said to him, "Afo b'she'enu misham knas al piyasmo, avo misham boshus begam al piyasmo," even though he doesn't pay knas by his own admission, he does pay boshus begam by his own admission, and since his denial has monetary consequences, he's chayv and ashim for his false oath. The one on the next off will explain Rabbi Shimon disagrees. Pointing me to Abai asks his Rebbe Rabba, one who says to another, "Anastu petisa es biti, v'hemeneticha bedin, v'nechayavta li mamun," you violated or you seduced my daughter, and I sued you in basin and you were obligated to pay me money, referring to the 50 shekel knas, and the defendant denies it all, v'nishba, v'hoda, and he swore and then later confessed that he swore falsely, what is the law according to Rabbi Shimon? Kevin da'amad bedin mamun havai, u'mechayiv alai karban shvua, do we say that since he sued in Basin and was awarded the knas, it's considered money and he's chayv to bring an ashim for a false oath? Or do we say that it's still treated as a knas and he does not bring an ashim? Rabbi answered, Mamon havai u'mechayv le karbon shvua. It is considered money and he's chayv to bring a karbon for making a false oath. After Abai challenges Rabbi revises his answer, that in fact Rabbi Shimon does not treat a knas after conviction as money. And when he said that Rabbi Shimon does treat it as money, well, Harisha Levanav, it was with respect to bequeathing it to his sons. Rashi explains that if the father were to die after being awarded the knas, but before he collected it, the knas would go to the brothers and not to the victim herself. And point number three, Abai challenges Rabbi's response that the sons collect the payments if the father died before he collected them from our Mishnah, which explicitly states, Rabbi Shimon says, Imoi speak ligbos ad shemesa av aryan shel atzma. If she did not yet collect her payments before the father died, they belong to her. Rava said, Rabbi and Rav Yosef had difficulty with this matter for 22 years, and it was not resolved until Rav Yosef sat at the head of the academy after Rava's death and resolved it. He explained that in the case of violation and seduction, it's different. For the pasuk states, V'nasan isha shochev imal la'avi ha'nara chamishin kesef. The man who lay with her shall give the father of the girl 50 silver pieces. Wazik satorah la'av el mishas nesina. The Torah did not entitle the father to the knas until the moment it is actually given to him. When Rabbi said that a fine after conviction is considered money with respect to bequeathing it to his sons, Bashar Knasas, it was with respect to other fines. All right, so now we get our Simon Daf Mem base, and our standard Simon is a mobster. A mobster. So here goes. The mobster's sons, who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis, who admitted after he swore, was Pater, were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel Knas, but were informed that a father is only entitled to a Knas when it is actually given to him. Once again, it's a motion. The mobster's sons, mobster, that must mean we're in Duff Membeis. The mobster's sons, who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis, who admitted after he swore, was Pater, which reminds us, it was taught in Mishnah and Shavuos. If one says to another, Anastu Batisa is biti, you violated my daughter, or you seduced my daughter, and the defendant responds that he did not, and the father makes him swear, and afterwards the defendant admits that he violated or seduced her, and that he had sworn falsely, he's chayav to pay the claim, and an additional fifth, and bring an ashim, but Rav Shimon exempts him. She'enu b'shalom knas al pi asma, for the din is that one does not pay knas by his own admission. The Chami said to him that even though he doesn't pay Knas by his own admission, he does pay for Boshu's Pagam by his own admission. Since his denial has a monetary consequence, he is Chayv and Ashim for his false oath. So the mobster's sons who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis, who admitted after he swore, was Pater, were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel Knas, which reminds us, Abai asks his Rebbe, Rabba, one who says to another that you violated or seduced my daughter and I sued you in Basin, and you were obligated to pay me money, referring to the 15 shekel knas, and the defendant denies it all, swears, and then later confesses that he swore falsely, what's the law according to Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi says that, in fact, Rabbi Shimon does not treat a knas after conviction as money. And when he said that Rabbi Shimon does treat it as money, Harisha Levana, it was with respect to bequeathing it to his sons. So the mobster's sons, who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis, who admitted after he swore, was Pater, were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel knas, but were informed that a father is only entitled to a knas when it is actually given to him. Which reminds Rav Yosef explained that in the case of Onus and Mefata, the pasuk states, V'nasana isha shochev ima la'avi ha'nara chamishim kesef. The man who lay with her shall give the father of the girl 50 silver pieces. Wazik satorah la'av el mishas nesina. The Torah did not entitle the father to the knas until the moment it is actually given to him. When Rabbi said that a fine after conviction is considered money with respect to bequeathing it to his sons, Bashar Knasos, it was with respect to other fines. So once again, the mobster's sons, who watched their father die in rage when he learned that the Ma'anis, who admitted after he swore, was Pater, were hoping that they would inherit another uncollected 50 shekel knas, but were informed that a father is only entitled to a knas when it is actually given to him. All right, now it's time for four blah bach chazara. Daf lamed ches. So the simmer daf lamed ches is a devar lach, and we use chicken soup. So here goes. The Nari eating from a bowl of comforting chicken soup, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Ches, a Davar Lach. Then Nahara eating from a bowl of comforting chicken soup after being engaged, divorced, and then violated, which reminds us of the machlokes between Yossi Agali and Rabbi Akiva, whether a Nahara that was engaged, divorced, and then violated receives a knas. The machlokes is based on how they understand the pasuk of Asher lo arasa, who was not engaged. So the Nahara eating from a bowl of comforting chicken soup after being engaged, divorced, and then violated, that she bought with the 50 silver shkalim she had been given, which reminds us, we discussed where we learned that a ma'anis and mafanta must pay 50 silver shkalim, whether it's from the Gezer Shava of Asher lo arasa in the parshios of the ma'anis and mafanta, or according to Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, it's from the pasuk of Kesev Yishkol Kamor HaBasulos. So the Nahara eating from a bowl of comforting chicken soup after being engaged, divorced, and then violated, that she bought with the 50 silver shkalim she had been given, sent a bowl over to the distraught father of a Nahara Basula who died after being violated, since he received nothing. Which reminds us, Abaye said, Ba'alel Mesa Pater, if one violated a Nahara Basula and she died before the violator was sued by the father and found liable by Basin, he's Pater from payment, for the Pasuk states, V'nasan La'viha Nahara, and he, referring to the violator, shall give to the father of the Nahara 50 silver coins. The superfluous expression of Nahara teaches that the fine is paid to the father of the Nahara, V'lo La'avi Mesa, and not to the father of a deceased girl. The Gemara says that what was obvious to Abaye was the basis of a question for Rava. Daf Lamedtes. So the Simur Daf Lamedtes is a letter, and we often use a mailman. So here goes. The mailman, that must be more Daf Lamedtes, letter. The mailman who delivered the knas package to the Nahara, who got married after she was violated, which reminds us, Rava asked Abaye, Ba'al ha'vin yis'arsa ma, what's the halacha? If one violated a Nahara and she became engaged before the violator was found guilty. Abaye answered, the pasuk does not say, V'nasan la'vi ha'nara, asher lo arusa, and the violator shall give to the father of the nara who is not engaged. And this is different from the case where she got married. For just as her becoming a bogeris removes a daughter from her father's ushas, and marriage removes her from her father's ushas, then just as in the case of a bogeris where one violates her as a nara and she becomes a bogeris before judgment, she gets the kanas, so too in the case of her marrying, she gets the kanas. But with regard to kedushin, she's not completely removed from her father's ushas, in that her father and her husband can annul her nadarim. So the mailman who delivered the knas package to the Nahara, who got married after she was violated, along with a big poster from Basin listing the differences between Ha'onis and the Mafata, which reminds us, the next Mishnah lists the differences between Ha'onis and the Mafata in terms of the payments that are made and when they must marry the woman. So the mailman who delivered the knas package to the Nahara, who got married after she was violated, along with a big poster from Basin listing the differences between Ha'onis and the Mafata, overheard her tell her father she was so grateful he prevented her marriage to the one who violated her from happening. Which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, in both cases of the seducer and the violator, both she and her father can prevent the marriage from taking place. The Gemara asks, where is it known that the father can block the marriage if she's violated? Abaye answered, Shelo yechote niskar. It's logical that the sinner should not be rewarded for his sin. And Rava said, it's a kal vachomer. If in the case of the seducer who only went against the will of the father, both the girl and the father can prevent the marriage, then all the more so with the violator who went against the will of the father and the daughter, he or she can prevent the marriage. Daf Mem, so the Simur Daf Mem is a swimming pool. So here goes. When the Nahara Mamzeres was instructed to say she doesn't want to marry her violator, he dove into the pool. Pool, that must be on Daf Mem, Mime, swimming pool. When the Nahara Mamzeres was instructed to say she doesn't want to marry her violator, which reminds us, if one violates a woman who is unfit to marry a Jew, such as a Mamzeres, he's not permitted to keep her, for the Pasuk states, Velo Siela Isha, and she shall be to him a wife, which implies Isha Haruilo, a woman who is fit for marriage to him. Rav Kahana said that he said the following argument in the presence of Rav Zvi from Narada. Nase Asiva Nidche Losase, let the Asiva is marrying her be Docha, the Losase of not marrying a woman who is not fit to marry. Rav Zvi responded that we say, Ase Dochi Losase, in cases like Nila and Saras, where it's impossible to choose not to fulfill the Ase. But here, although the violator has the mitzvah to marry the woman, if she says, I do not want him as a husband, is there any mitzvah's Ase at all? Rashi explains that in all cases of unfit women, we instruct them to say she doesn't want the violator to be a husband, so that there is no mitzvah's Ase. So when the Nahara Mamzeres was instructed to say, she doesn't want to marry her violator, He dove into the pool to escape the boshes of begum payments, which are not included in the kanas. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, why not say that the 50 slime is the payment for kanas, boshes, and begum? Abaye answers, the pasuk states that the violator pays the kanas tachas hasher inah because he has afflicted her, which implies that they are paid specifically because he violated her. And besides this payment for affliction, there are additional payments of boshes begum. Rava gives an alternative answer from the pasuk that states, "Vanasa neisha shochev yimal la'avi hanara chamishim kesef." The man who lay with her shall give the father of the girl 50 silver shekels. This implies hanos shchiva chamishim, that for the pleasure of lying with her, he pays 50 shekels of the father. But called the eka boshes begum. From here we can infer that there are additional payments of embarrassment and depreciation. So when the Nara Mamzeres was instructed to say she does not want to marry her violator, he dove into the pool to escape the boshes begum payments, which are not included in the kanas, but was captured by her father, who was eager to receive them and was planning to marry her off to a mukashkin, which reminds us. It's logical that boshes and begum go to the father, for if he wishes, he can give her over to a man who is repulsive, or a mukashkin, afflicted with boils. Rashi explains that it's in the father's rishus to embarrass her and depreciate her value through relations with a repulsive person in exchange for the kedusha money. So since the violator preempted the father by embarrassing her and depreciating her value, he causes the father to lose out from the money he could have received. Daf Mem Aleph. So the Simmer Daf Mem Aleph is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be wearing Daf Mem Aleph. The grandma who told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation, which reminds us, the next mission which states, the one who says, I seduced Pony's daughter, pays for Boshes Begum, but does not pay the Knas, does not go according to the Tana of a price who taught, that a mafata confesses, even Boshes Begum he doesn't have to pay, for he's not believed to discredit the daughter of Pony. Rapapa asked the Baya, what would be the halach if it was acceptable to the girl to suffer a bad reputation in order to receive the Boshes Begum? And the Gemara answers that perhaps it's not acceptable to her father. And even if it was, perhaps it's not acceptable to members of the family. Rashi explains that it's not for Basin to do something that will sustain the family's embarrassment. And even if it was acceptable to them, it's impossible there's not one family member in a distant land for whom it's not acceptable. So the grandma who told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation was incensed when Basin informed her she owed chetzi nezik as a kanas because her ox gored, which reminds us, Gemara brings malchokas regarding chetzi nezik, half damages which are paid when a short time damages. Rav Papa said, Pal Ganiska Mamona, half damages are payment of damages, where Rav Huda Brei Rav Yeshua says, Pal Ganiska Kanasa, half damages are kanas. So the grandma told Basin she would certainly object if they let a mafata ruin her granddaughter's wonderful reputation was incensed when Basin informed her she owed chetzi nezik as a kanas because her ox gored, and that she had a court date in Eretz Yisrael because her kitty cat was a killer and eating large chickens, which reminds us. The Gemara states that now that it has been established that chetzi nezik is a kanas in the case of a dog that killed and ate a sheep or a cat that killed and ate large chickens, it's a case of unusual damage and we do not collect it in Bavel. Collection of kanas requires dayanim with smicha, and smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. But if the damaged party sees property the owner of the dog or cat, we do not take it away from him. And if the damaged party said to Basin, set up date for me to go to Eretz Yisrael to present the case in Basin with dayanim who have smicha, the courts set a date for him. And if the damager doesn't go by that date, mishamtinle, we place a ban on him. All right, now it's time to conclude with our 10-question pop quiz. Number 1. Which daf do we have a mission that lists the differences between ha'onas and ha'mafata? That's on daf Lamatas. Good. Number 2. Which daf when Rabbi Shimon holds that if one swore that he was not ma'anas or mafata, and then he admitted he is pater from a knas? That's on daf Membeis. Good. Number 3. Which daf when according to one tana, a mafata who confesses does not pay boshes begum because Basin does not give him a platform to ruin the girl's reputation? That's on daf Memov. Good. Number 4. Which have we learned that we instruct a woman who cannot marry her violator, such as a mamzeres, to say that she does not want to marry him, and this is not a case of ase docha los ase? That's on daf Mem. Good. Number 5. Which have we learned that Rabbi said that Rabbi Shimon treats a kanas as money with regards to bequeathing it to one's sons? That's on daf Membeis. Good. Number 6. Which have we learned that since based in Bavel cannot judge cases of kanas, if the damaged party wants, they can have them set a court date in Eretz Yisrael? That's on daf Memov. Good, number 7. Which something wherein the father can block the marriage in the case of a onus as well. According to Abai, Shoye Chota Niskar, and according to Rava, based on a Kavachomer, that's on Daf. Lamates. Good, number 8. Which something wherein that Bojas and Pagam are not included in the Kanas payment, that's on Daf. Mem. Good, number 9. Which something when the Torah did not entitle the father to the Knas until the moment it is actually given to him, that's on Daf. Mem base. Good, and number 10. Which something when the Bochus and Begum go to the father since he's the one losing out, since he could have married her off to a Manuvo or Muchashkin, that's on Daf. Mem. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zich wishing you a great day and great learning.